श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फोर्थ चैप्टर 11th टेक्स्ट नंबर 7th। प्लीज रिपीट। मनुरुवाच अलम वत्साति रोषेण तमो द्वारेण पाप्मना येन पुण्यजनान् एतान् अवधिस्त्वं मनागसः। मनुरुवाच अलं वत्साति रोषेण तमो द्वारेण पाप्मना येन पुण्यजनान् एतान् अवधिस्त्वम् अनागसः। मुरुवाच मनु सेड अलम एनफ वत्स माय डियर बॉय अतिरोषेण विथ एक्सेसिव एंगर तमः द्वारेण द पैथ्स ऑफ इग्नोरेंस पापमना सिंफुल एन बाय विच पुण्यजनान द यक्षस एतान All these avadhihi you have killed. Tvam you anagasaha offenseless. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Manu said, my dear son, please stop. It is not good to become unnecessarily angry. It is the path to hellish life. Now, you are going beyond the limit by killing yakshas who are actually not offenders. Translation again, Lord Manu said, my dear son, please stop. This is not good to become unnecessarily angry. It is the path to hellish life. Now you are going beyond the limit by killing yakshas who are actually not offenders. Report. In this verse, the word Atiroshena means with unnecessary anger. When Dhruva Maharaj went beyond the limits of necessary anger, his grandfather Swayambhuva Manu immediately came to protect him from further sinful action. From this we can understand that the killing is not bad. Killing is not bad. But when the killing is done unnecessarily, or when an offenseless person is killed, such killing opens the path to hell. Other one could lead to heaven, that is mentioned in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But this could lead to hell when the limits are crossed. Dhruva Maharaj was saved from such sinful action because he was a great devotee. A Kshatriya is allowed to kill only for maintenance of the law and order of the state. He is not allowed to kill or commit a violence without reason. Violence is certainly a path leading to a hellish condition of life, but it is also required for maintenance of the law and order of the state. Here, Lord Manu prohibited Dhruva Maharaj from killing the yakshas because only one of them was punishable for killing his brother Uttama. Not all the yakshas, yaksha citizens, were punishable. We find in modern warfare, however, that attacks are made upon innocent citizens who are without fault. According to the law of Manu, such warfare is most sinful activity. Furthermore, at the present moment, civilized nations are unnecessarily maintaining many slaughterhouses for killing innocent animals. When a nation is attacked by its enemies, the wholesale slaughter of the citizens should be taken as a reaction to their own sinful activities. That is nature's law. End of the purport. Manurubacha alam vatsati roshena tamo dvarena papmana ena punya janan etan avadhistvam anagasaha. Lord Manu said, "My dear son, please stop. It is not good to become unnecessarily angry. It is path to hellish life. Now you are going beyond the limit by killing yakshas who are actually not offenders." So, well, many things. Very well. Let's see. My dear son, please stop. Stop. When I read that, I was reminded of Srila Prabhupada ki. So many things remind us of Srila Prabhupada. He also asked me to stop. "Stop it," he said. As soon as I read this, immediately I was transported for a few moments into the past, 72, that's how many? 38 years ago. During month of Kartik at Radha Damodar temple, a team of maybe 10-15 devotees, we had just come from Bombay, arrived at Mathura, and took Tonga to Radha Damodar temple. Anyway, we also remember so many things, our encounters, just even from the Mathura station to Radha Damodar temple, including peacocks. First time I saw peacock in my life was that time. That's it. I had heard the names, saw some photographs of peacocks. Okay, we arrived at Radha Damodar Ki. We had wonderful darshan of Radha Damodar. Deity of Radha Damodar. Very, very beautiful deity. And then, of course, we knew Srila Prabhupada was there. And that's the reason we had arrived. First ever festival of Kartik festival. Then we entered Srila Prabhupada's quarters. I need not describe. Have you seen where Prabhupada stayed? This is his home here. Of course, whole Vrindavan is his home, but then he chose these quarters. So as we were sitting, anyway, I want to go faster. Otherwise, I will only end up seeing this much. Not. So as we were sitting around Srila Prabhupada in front of him, and there was a dialogue. We were giving report of Bombay and different activities. And Srila Prabhupada was appreciating or inquiring from time to time. And as he was talking to us, he was moving his head like that, looking at us like a camera moves. And I was kind of sitting right in front. So whenever it was turn of Srila Prabhupada to look at me, he would kind of stop there for a few fraction of seconds. And then he would move again. And coming back and again, taking a little closer look at. And of course I was wondering, I took note that Prabhupada was noting something. And I was wondering what was it that was getting Prabhupada's attention. Are my buttons okay? He said, well, maybe I don't have tilak on, or trying to figure it out. But I could not figure it out till Prabhupada said, stop it! And then I realized what Srila Prabhupada referred to. Enough is enough. Alam. Enough, enough. Stop it. So those days, whenever I heard someone attentively, then automatically I would do this, you know, you see? Move my thighs. I was doing like this. I did not even know what I was doing. What is going very fast. Something was okay, but you know, I was just doing what I did not. I was just absorbed hearing Prabhupada. And I was in new world, first time ever in Vrindavan and this and that. And in Prabhupada's presence, first time was that close to Srila Prabhupada. I had seen him in Bombay on the stage and like that, but I was never that close. And now, first thing ever, he said to me, and that was, stop it! And I stopped it. I had probably done this for hundreds of times before. Then Prabhupada said, stop it, I stopped it. And only whenever I have to do a little demonstration, I do it again for a minute or two. So when I read this, stop it. Dear son, please stop. Enough. Alam. Stop it. So spiritual master gives his different instructions. Do this, don't do this. So I thought, with stop it, I thought the whole package, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. Although he was giving indication to one of the items, but I took that as he was asking me to stop all the nonsense, stop it, stop this, nished, stop, 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 stop. Okay, that was that. So Dhruva Maharaj, we already chanted mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Every time beginning of Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj chanted that mantra not far from here in Madhuban, and he did other things. Amongst them, the main thing is tapasya and remembrance of the Lord, taking bath in Jamuna regularly as he was instructed by his spiritual master Narada. He was thoroughly purified. By end of 6 months, they said even Lord Buddha took Lord Buddha took 6 years to become enlightened, but our Dhruva Maharaj, within 6 months, he dragged the Lord with his lovingly he dragged the Lord, and he had darshan. Our Lord was taking his darshan. He should act in such a way so that, Srila Prabhupada used to say, if you want to see him, see the Lord, is it easy? Not easy. But if Lord wants to see you, then damn easy. So Lord was pleased with Dhruva Maharaj, and he came to see him. But Dhruva Maharaj had not taken note that the Lord was standing right in front of him, because he was just absorbed in his meditation and seeing the Lord within the heart, and he was totally oblivious to the fact that Lord was standing before him. So Lord was wondering how to get his attention. I have come long way, I have traveled to see this Vatsa, this boy, this Dhruva. So what did Lord do? He turned off the screen inside. Whatever he was seeing inside, the Smriti Patal, the screen of the heart or consciousness. So when that scene was off, Dhruva Maharaj immediately, Haribo, what happened? Something happened. There are quite a few sleeping souls here. That is the reason we get elevated seat. As one purpose. So that we could take a good look. Otherwise we could only see the front row. The back benchers fall fast asleep. You're happy that first row is hearing us. At least once during my talk, this topic comes up, sleeping topic. Somehow the sleepers get my attention. I know some speakers are quite transcendental. They go on speaking. You hear, you don't hear, they don't care. But each person is different, so I don't know. I get attention. Sleeping souls get my attention. Okay, now you know. So, Dhruva Maharaj was... So then, as soon as Dhruva opened his eyes, what was there? Who was there? Who was there? Say something. This will also help you to wake up. Lord Vishnu ki. Four-handed. So now there Dhruva Maharaj is trying to take revenge. Well, his brother has been killed, Uttam, although he was some kind of competitor for Dhruva Maharaj, for the throne or for the laugh of his father. But we could see his affection, Dhruva Maharaj's affection for Uttama, his brother, and as a result he's the killer of his brother. He wants to kill, he has already killed him, But then he is also unnecessarily killing some more yakshas, and that's the topic. And this is not fair. Enough is enough. Oh boy. Who is the speaker? Who is talking here? Manu. He is a lawmaker. Manu Sanhita comes from him. And for Dhruva Maharaj, she is just a family member. For us, well, I mean, we are also part of the same family, but not that close relationship or blood relationship. Well, I'm sure that same blood flows. We're also descendants of Brahma, Swayambhu. Son of Swayambhu is Swayambhu. The Swayambhu or Manu, because he comes from Swayambhu. Swayambhu is Brahma, Swayambhu, that is Manu. And we are all descendants in that sense of Brahma. We are not descendants of monkeys or those, who are they? Darwin. Darwin, of course. That is his theory. What's the animal's name? Apes. Okay, well, not apes. Some special kind of monkeys. We are descendants of Brahma. So, people may be old, but they are not useless. So, Swayambhu Manu is a grandfather. But older, but it's not useless. Useless to just kill him, as is the culture in the West. Sometimes they may go for killing, or they will manipulate so that they are killed or they die. Why don't you die, you know? But old people, they may be weak in body or, but their wisdom comes handy. So in Vedic culture, I'm just taking this opportunity to make that point. In Vedic culture, old people are also useful. Utility is a principle. Even old people could be helpful, useful. Their wisdom. Young people are usually foolish. Young and foolish, old and wise, they are seasoned, experienced. So their experience could be shared, used. Well, something of that sort is also happening here. Manu is the ruler of the universe. No one sees, we only see Obama and we see others ruling this planet. But the supreme manager, administrator is Manu Maharaj, and so he creates, he comes up with the laws, what is to be done, what is not to be done, and here he's advising his grandson, Dhruva Maharaj, what to do, what not to do, or enough. Others are not responsible. They should not be killed. Avadhistvam anagasaha. Others are offense. They are not offenders. One person has killed your brother. And you have already killed him. Why are you killing others? Alam, stop it. Don't become excessively angry. Ati roshena. And if rosh, the anger is excessive, then what would happen? You will commit sins, pap mana, and tamo dvarena. That will open the gate to hell, as Krishna. So Manu's laws are based on Krishna's laws. He is not another independent lawmaker. Krishna has said this in Bhagavad Gita. Three gates. Kaam, Krodh, Lobh. And there's a whole mantra that goes with it. So these are the gates leading to hell. So this statement is based on advice, is based on Krishna's advice. Punyajananetan. Others are pious, yakshas, they are not the killer, they are innocent, they are not the offenders. Why are you killing them? And we find in modern warfare, however, the attacks are made upon innocent citizens who are without fault. We all have experience of this. Furthermore, at the present moment, civilized nations are unnecessarily maintaining many slaughterhouses for killing innocent animals. So Srila Prabhupada is taking this opportunity to take up the cause of the animals, especially cows. They cannot speak. So Srila Prabhupada is speaking on behalf of the cows. Cow, cow uvacha. Cow said, just because we cannot speak, and just because we don't have a passport, you think we are not citizens? This is Srila Prabhupada's point. Just because you have passport, you claim to be citizen and we don't have passport. So they also are citizens. They are innocent. And not only innocent, but so useful, so gentle. Even looking at the cow, you feel peaceful. By looking at buffalo, you may not feel. Looking at dog, do you feel peaceful? Yeah, this is very special. You look at the cow, just being with the cow, you feel peaceful. In peace of mind, if you want to achieve peace of mind, stay with the cow, be with the cow. Or if you could serve the cow. So they are, anyway, there could be whole cow mahatmya, the greatness of cow could be talked. This is land of cow. The name of this land is what? Gokul. Or Golok, or Govardhan, all cow-centered culture. Cow-centered. All that you need is land, some land and the cows. What else do you need? So God has given land, God has given cows so that you drink their milk. Not you drink their blood. So, some so-called civilized nations, they are killing cows and drinking their blood or eating their flesh. Including India does this. India is one of the leading exporters. Someone is saying number two in the world. Yeah? We are going up there. We are catching up with US. Indians like to... The hero of Indians, America is a hero for them. When who came? Jackson? Kansa Jackson? How do you know? The Gurukul boy knows. I'm trying to, struggling to remember whether Jackson, which Jackson. He's on the tip of his tongue. Oh, Michael Jackson. So when he had come to India, oh boy, he was worshipped. Literally he was worshipped. Jai Michael Jackson. Jai Jai Michael Jackson. Indians really went mad. And this is just but sampling. So Indians are trying to catch up. So America is, they were leading exporters of beef, so India has come. Why we should be way behind? And now we just got the information. They are very close, only next to USA. Very misfortune. Some years ago, in a member of the parliament, this cow slaughter topic, this was agenda topic, and they had so much. They wanted to be kind to the cow, or at least some member of the parliaments wanted to be the kind. And the whereas means because when animals are killed or slaughtered in India, whereas the machinery used is old and kind of useless, whereas the blades used for killing animals are not sharp enough, therefore members of the parliament concluded we should modernize our slaughterhouses, and certainly we should import the equipment that is used in America and in Ireland to slaughter our animals so that there could be painless killing. When they are killed, will be no pain or less pain. All in favor of this proposal, raise your hands. No one is raising hands here. But there, it was unanimously. The cause of the cow. Cows are animals are suffering while they are slaughtered. We have to be kind to the animals. Let's modernize. Let's get the best equipment possible. Sharpest razors, blades as possible. So that when they're killed, they don't feel pain. Or before even they think, they're gone. Aren't they very kind members of the parliament? What do you think? Very kind? So these slaughterhouses are maintained. Srila Prabhupada is pointing out. It's common knowledge also. And this is a cause of the war. As war is a topic, killing is a topic. The killing has origin in animal slaughter, or one of the major causes of why people kill others, why there are wars, because so Kali entered, and Kali, with that came the four sinful activities, and one of them is animal killing. And as animals are killed, what happens? Then there are four pillars of the religion. A roof of the religion is held by the four pillars. One of the pillar is mercy, daya. Daya dharma ka mool hai. There's a statement which even so what happens when animals are killed and gobbled up? With that, what happens? The mercy is, you become merciless. You lose all kindness, all friendliness. All these finer sentiments are gone. with animal killing and animal eating. And then, well, you're no more friendly, you're no more kind, and no more mercy, you have no more kindness. Then such person could be killer. He could kill others. Kill and then go for lunch or something. He won't feel bad at all. As tiger kills other animals, and then what happens? Well, he goes to sleep or is business as usual, as if he has done nothing. This is just a routine thing, killing. He doesn't go to any temple. Tigers, I'm sorry, I killed that animal. How could I do such a thing? But I take a vow, I will never, never, ever do such a thing again. Does any tiger or a lion, do they do such confession and take vow not to? No! So like that, the human beings are becoming like that. They could kill. Could come with an AK-47. All flat. He did not even know who they are. They were not his enemies. But he could just load his gun, go to the marketplace and kill hundreds of people. With a gun or a human bomb or this or that. So one lady, again American lady in New York, met Srila Prabhupada. This was a time when America was battling in Vietnam War. This was during Prabhupada days. So this lady, she said, Swamiji, Swamiji, you know they are recruiting young men and sending them to the battlefield or war front. And my son also has been booked, or, you know, he's also on the list. She made a little presentation like this. Of course, she wanted, you know, if Swamiji could say something to console her or pray to Lord or something so that his son doesn't have to go, because lady knew, if my son goes, bye. She's not going to see her son again. Going to be Swaha. So Prabhupada, responding to this lady's dilemma, Prabhupada did not express any sympathies. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's nature's law. The end of the purport, Prabhupada. That's nature's law. You had been killing, so Prabhupada, little elaboration. You had been killing cows in your country. Yes or no? Yes, yes. And Prabhupada said, now it is your turn to be killed. You killed cows, and now it is turn for human being, you to be, or your sons to be killed. It's nature's law. So ati roshena, excessive or unnecessary anger is always exhibited. And not only anger, but lust also, and what else? The greed also. And this makes one an individual or a family or a community or a nation could go blind by when they are under the influence of these enemies, kam, krodh, lobh. So in the shastras we find the terms called, one becomes kamandho. Andham is blind. One becomes blind. What is the cause of blindness? Kamandha. The lust becomes cause of blindness. Not that you have no eyes, but your eyes do not show you what is what. Like in the darkness you don't see proper ground or the hole here, a pillar there, and you could be in trouble. You're not supposed to be moving unless there is a light again. Huh? When there's a blackout, you kind of stop wherever you are till there's a light. Otherwise, you could be in the ditch, in the gutter, hitting your head against the pillar or whatever. So, kamandha, krodhandha, this is atiroshe, you know, anger. Excessive anger makes one blind. Excessive greed. Those sons of Kubair, what happened to them? They became blind. The sons of Kubair, the treasurer of the demigod's treasurer's sons, Narad Muni is passing by, Narayana, 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 Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Namnes. My harmonium is automatically singing. But these two sons of Kubair, they were transcendental to these songs. They just continued with their... So the Bhagavatam says they had become blind. Madandha, madandha, lobhandha. And then they were cursed, and there's a Damodar Leela connection with that. They were cursed and blessed at the same time. So this kam, krodh, lobh, these are dangerous things. We know, talking of becoming blind with the anger, Danta Vaktra. You know that name? Some of you know. You know Shishupal? Yes. You know Jai Vijay? So Jai Vijay appeared. Krishna's time they appeared as Shishupal and Dantabhakra. Shishupal was killed in Hastinapur. And then Krishna had gone to Dwarka, from Hastinapur to Dwarka. The news of Shishupal's killing reached Mathura, Vrindavan, Braj. Not far from, it's part of Shantanakund. You know Shantanakund in Vrindavan? Braj Mandal. You know Bahulaban? Then what do you know? Only Lohi Bazaar, Vrindavan. There's so much out there. Not far from here is Shantanakund, and near there is a place called Datiha, the place of Dantavakra, Dantavaktra. So when he heard that Shishupal was killed, he became furious. What? How could this happen? He became angry. He became so much angry that he lost the sense of direction. Of course, when he had become angry, he had heard the news, and he had heard who was the killer, who had killed Shishupal. Krishna goes, I want to kill that killer of Shishupal. Where is that? Krishna now, I know he is hiding in Dwarka now, so I want to go to Dwarka. So he wanted to go to Dwarka, but he did not know which way to go because he had become blind. Because he was so furious. You have that experience when someone is angry? What happens? They could end up doing something crazy. And for which they will lament later on. So the advice is, when you are angry, just stop, stop! Don't act. For sure you are going to hurt yourself or hurt others. Do something very drastic. Anger means you have lost the power of discrimination. What is right, what is wrong? Here in this case, Manu Maharaj is reminding, my dear boy, you lost the sense of discrimination. It's too much anger, excessive anger. Your brother was killed by just one person, not other yakshas. So he's trying to put some good sense in the head of, anyway, Dhruva Maharaj. He has become angry because his brother has been killed. And then that gives opportunity for Manu to give advice, and the whole system works. We learn. Okay, back to this. Dantavakra, he became very angry and he wanted to go to Dwarka. Dwarka, which way is Dwarka? Someone says northwest, someone says southwest, someone says here, someone says... Okay, southwest is the right... is in Gujarat. So somewhere like that. This is east. So that's west. South and west, so in between. Okay. So he wanted to go that side, that direction, but he lost the sense. And as this Prabhu, Dantavakra Prabhu, was lost, Narad Muni comes, may I help you, sir? You seem to be lost. I help you? And this Dantavakra said to Narad Muni, yes, yes, please. You know, I want to... kill Krishna. Could you help me? I'm finding it a little difficult to, find him or get to wherever he is. Narad Muni said, no problem. Oh, you want to kill him? I will tell him that you want to kill him. What did he say? Narad Muni said, I will tell Krishna that you want to kill him. Krishna may like to come so that you could kill him. So Narad Muni went flying. Narad Muni bajai vina, and Dwarkadish has heard that Dantavakra wants to kill. So Narad, you may like to go there so that he could kill you. No, he desperately wants to kill you. And he cannot come here. Could you please appear before Dantavakra? So, no problem. Hare Krishna. And immediately, Lord mounted the chariot. Daruk! And Daruk is there with a... And in no time, Krishna arrives in, there has to be somewhere, gate of Mathura gate. Bhagavatam, not far from Mathura gate, was this Dantavakra's place, Mathura Mandal, huge area. So then, Well, here I am. And then they both started battling. And soon, Dantavakra was killed. Harival! You're not happy? Maybe you have some relationship. We have some Dantavakra connection here. That's why you're not happy to know that he was killed. So then Vidurath, another person, I think they're brothers, he also comes and he was killed. So after killing Dantavakra, Krishna, he comes to Vishram Ghat. It's in Mathura, Vishram Ghat. And he immerses all his weapons in Jamuna. Indicating that his mission of Vinashaya Chaduskritam is over. Killing of miscreants, that function is over. He would not be killing anymore. Residents of Vrindavan, including Nanda, Yashoda, and others, gopis, Radharani, they all had gone to Kurukshetra to meet the Lord. This is the time of sun eclipse. Residents of Dwarka had come from Dwarka, Krishna, Balram, Subhadra, and others, and residents of Vrindavan, they had met there. And the gopis wanted Krishna to, at least now you could come, or they had gone there to Kurukshetra to make sure that this time we will not allow him to go back to Dwarka. I want to bring him to where? You are not interested? But again, Krishna had said, I really would like to love to come back, but my mission is not over yet. A few more demons I still have to take care of. So Krishna, this is Rath Yatra history also, the origin of whole Rath Yatra, Jagannath Rath Yatra that we perform. So Krishna, Balram, Subhadra in the chariot, and residents of Vrindavan, especially gopis, they got rid of the horses. That was the idea. We don't need horses. We'll become the horses, donkeys, whatever we have to do. We'll pull the chariot, bring him to Vrindavan. So they were willing to do so, but Krishna was not ready yet, because some more unfinished job. So now, as he had come and he had killed Dantavakra in Brajamandal near Mathura in Bahulaban, then Krishna comes to Vishram Ghat. He doesn't need weapons anymore. Then he mounts his chariot again and he heads for Vrindavan. Blowing his conch shell, this is a small conch shell. Sounded like that. And the bigger one, then deep and resounding sound. Or those winter throats, that's another. So as Krishna was blowing his kaunshal, Panchajanya, and going towards Vrindavan, residents of Vrindavan were delighted to hear the kaunshal of Lord. Means Lord is here. Lord is coming. Now, residents of Vrindavan, they also had returned from Dwarka, not Dwarka, from Kurukshetra. But because they were promised that they would, that Krishna would come, I'll come soon. Just now coming, you know, I'm going to be coming. You'll just, promise is promise. So residents of Vrindavan, they had come to Vrindavan, but they did not quite enter Vrindavan. They at the entrance of Vrindavan. It's difficult to realize, comprehend where is the entrance of Vrindavan, but at the entrance they just were waiting. And he could be coming. He has said he is going to be coming. You know, he could be coming any day. He could be coming today. Okay, he didn't come this morning. But by noon he should be here. If we go and be busy with our job, this, that, who is going to be there to greet him? We better wait here. Okay, he didn't come by noon. For sure, by this evening, he would be here. So thinking like this, they were spending their days and months at the entrance of Vrindavan. So finally, when they heard the kaushal blowing, Krishna's kaushal blowing, they really jumped. And they all started saying, Ayore, 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 Ayore. What did they say? Ayore. What did they say? Ayore, he has come, he is here, Krishna is here, Ayore, Ayore. And those big grand greetings. Simple, but heartfelt. Not a big pomp and show, but no substance inside. But the heartfelt greetings and our heart pouring, the feelings, and so that this is how Krishna had come back, and after he did this battle with Dantabhatra, then that was it, no more. But before that battle, in fact, this was the end. I could have mentioned this in a different order. I wanted to share, there's another battle that happened first when Krishna left Vrindavan. A crew had come. He brings Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Kamsa was killed. And when Kamsa was killed, Kamsa's two wives, Asti and Prapti, they started crying, of course. And then they had gone to their father's place. Jarasandh is a father. And when Jarasandh got this news, he became, of course, very, very angry, and he wanted to take revenge, wanted to kill that Krishna who killed his son-in-law, Kamsa. So then he had come with a big army. Just a few days ago, our Brajamandal Parikrama party was in the region where that big battle took place. The battle of Mahabharata is more popular, but this battle was bigger in a sense, one sense. That battle of Kurukshetra lasted for 18 days, but this battle, other side, eastern bank of Jamuna, where Lohaban you know, Lohaban, Mahaban, between Mahaban and Srivan is a Lohaban. That region, this battle lasted for 18 years. And of course, and Jarasandh, Krishna and Balaram were battling with Jarasandh and his army for 18 years. Of course, every day it was not a battle. The battle is of two kinds, or war is of two kinds. What are the two kinds? They call it cold war and hot war. Yes, we could say cold war. It's preparing. Cold war one's preparing, preparations. Preparing, and then from cold it becomes warm and becomes hot. So the Jarasandh, he was bringing big army. You know how big? How many Akshohini divisions were battling in Kurukshetra? 18. 18, 7 on Pandava side, 11 on Kaurava side. 18. But here, 23 Akshohini divisions of Senas. Jarasandh, he was bringing Sena. Every year he would come with big Sena like that. And Bhagavatam mentions, of course this is history, Bhagavatam, historical account, Krishna and Balaram, they would only take small army, says. 23 Akshohini division army versus just small army of Krishna and Balaram. And there's another distinction between Kurukshetra war and this war. In Kurukshetra war, Mahabharata war, only Krishna took part, and again, no weapons. He was just there. And Balaram showed no interest. In fact, he went on pilgrimage at the time of Mahabharata war. Both had different opinions about. But in this war, two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, were fighting shoulder to shoulder. They were of the same opinion. Yes. And their strategy was, what was the strategy? Kill the army of Jarasandh, but don't kill Jarasandh. So each year they would kill the entire army of Jarasandh, sparing Jarasandh. Only Jarasandh would survive. And when Jarasandh would look around, hey, it's just me. Then he would run back to his capital and telephone his friends. Not send SMS. Did not exist. He would communicate and then gather another big army. How big? 23 Akshohini division once again. And they would come marching. So like a, every year they would come, like a season. Every year, once a year, they would battle. He would take some time to prepare. As soon as he had 23 Akshohini divisions, march to Mathura, they would all come. Then Krishna and Balaram, it's an easy job for them. They would just go across the Jamuna. They were in town, and Jarasandh was bringing big army. Krishna and Balaram just crossing Jamuna and then battling with Jarasandh's army, killing army, sparing Jarasandh. Every time. This happened how many times? Not 18 times. This happened 17 times. I thought so, you would say. 18. Not thinking always. So, What was Krishna doing? Excessive anger of Krishna that he was battling. Krishna is, well, Prithvi, the planet was in trouble, taken shape of cow, gone to the Lord, demigods, and then they had gone to the Lord. Yes, I will have, looks like I will have to appear. You cannot handle demigods. This is not your cup of tea. Everyone will not understand what is this cup of tea. It's not small matter. Yes, looks like I have to get in the middle. Situation has gone out of control so much. Dharma Shaglani, decline of religious principle. So Lord had come to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons. So you could imagine how many demons, demoniac people. 23 Akshoyini divisions? 17. Okay, someone did the total, grand total. Also how many? 391 Akshoyini divisions of army was. Army men were killed. So, what do you think? Did Jarasandha do service or disservice to Krishna? Think about it. Huh? Okay. Jarasandha, he did service to Krishna. How was this service to Krishna? Because he had appeared to kill the demons. And what was Jarasandha doing? Gathering all the demons. And swaha. One offering. Swaha. Two offerings. Swaha. So Krishna was in business. He had come for this business, killing. But what kind of business? Some are retailer businessmen and some are wholesalers. So Krishna battling with Jarasandha, what kind of business was this? Wholesale. Wholesale killing. Otherwise he has to go door to door, you know, find each demon and kill him. Okay, how many families are here? Okay, this one village over, how many villages, how many towns? So all this, Jarasandha was taking care of all this homework and gathering all the demons. Jarasandha's friends must be demoniac. You're assisting him, cooperating with him. So, so big battle has taken place near, in Brajamandal, Vrindavan region. And Krishna has exhibited his, Lord has exhibited his anger. And there's no limit. When Lord becomes angry, his anger is limitless. Okay, so let us stop somewhere. There's no conclusion, but we could also stop here. Yeah, I mean, today is also conclusion of what is happening today. Today is the last day of Damodar. Month of Damodar. And some of us would be leaving Braj, unfortunately. Or fortunately, going to our respective towns and temples and homes. The book marathon, Srila Prabhupada's transfer book distribution ki. Book marathon is also coming up. It's around the corner. So that opportunity is there for us. Distribute these books. We get to hear, read what about the rest of the world. If they would read, they would also stop cow killing. They would eat Krishna Prasad. So many things these books could do and are doing. I was in Mexico a long time ago, in Mexico, South America, at the airport checking in luggage at the check-in counter. The lady there, she noticed that we are saffron-robed. Myself and Panchadravid Swami were together. Says, "Are you Hare Krishna?" "Of course we are Hare Krishna." And he said, "You know, I have your Krishna books," he said. "See, look at this lady working at the counter, you know, she's not Hare Krishna or anything, never visited temple. Someone gave her book at the airport. And then wife and husband started reading Krishna book. And then this lady said, "You know, recently we gave birth to a baby daughter. We have a daughter now. And then we decided to name her Devaki. Our daughter's name is Devaki." While reading Krishna book, they like this name, Devaki. So when they had a daughter, you would be Devaki. So, you know, that was just the beginning as they have started reading. Who knows by now what kind of progress they must have made. Visiting temples, maybe they have started chanting Hare Krishna. So there are so many. Books are the basis and foundation. And there's so much ignorance in the world. People have become blind because of anger, lust, greed. This knowledge could open their eyes. Someone was had made all the plans to commit suicide, and then they got Prabhupada's book. And after reading the book, that person decided not to give up the life, but give that life to Krishna and Krishna consciousness movement. So books could save lives, souls. I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of... Did you become devotee by reading Prabhupada's books, or you got the book and you became devotee? Anyone here like that? The book brought you to Krishna consciousness movement, or some hands are going up, some are still thinking, some don't even know what the question is. So the Lord was kind that we were here during Damodar singing His glories. He's still standing there with Yashoda.
Kuberatma jo baddha murtaiva yadva Vayamocito bhakti bhajo kritau cha. Tatha prema bhaktim svakame prayaccha. Namo kshe griho me sti damodareha.
So that's the prayer. With that prayer we could stop. This prayer is at the lotus feet of Damodar. Prayer says, Kubairatmajo Baddha Murtaiva Yadvat. Those sons of Kubair, Nal, Kuvar, Mani, grieve. They were bound up in the body of a tree. But you, Mochito, you liberated them and gave, after liberation, you gave lots of bhakti to them. Tatha prema bhaktim svakame prayaccha. You gave them, you made them free, bestowed the benediction, all the bhakti. Tatha, likewise, may I also get bhakti, O Lord. Namokshe grihom esti damodareha. O Damodar, I have no interest in moksha or liberation. And no interest in karma, karn, jnana, karn, kevala vishera bhant. I just want bhakti, your bhakti. So Lord, please give me your bhakti. Devotional service. Bhakti is not just something mental. Sometimes people, I have lots of devotion. And I have lots of devotion for the Lord. So sometimes bhakti is translated as devotion. Srila Prabhupada translates bhakti as devotional service. Not just devotion. I have lots of devotion. Lots of devotion. Lots. You know what? Lots of devotion. What can I say? So much devotion. Show it. We want to see your devotion. Lord wants to see the devotion. Shruta Kirti Prabhu, other day, you read from his book 2 nights ago. And he had approached Prabhupada and said, other devotees, other disciples have so much devotion, so much sentiments they have for you. But me, I don't feel. The Prabhupada did not say immediately, he did not respond, but after a long time, or after lunch, prasad, etc. Prabhupada inquired, are you happy with your service that you are doing? Yes, yes, Prabhupada, I'm very happy that I'm serving you, serving Krishna. He said, this is a devotion. You're translating devotion into action. Because you are performing devotional service. Anyway, he wrote it nicely and spoke nicely. I'm not doing that good job. Okay. So I wish you. Question? At 10 o'clock you have a question. What about prasad? Question is, when is prasad? That should be a natural question.
Krishna came as avatar, as Rama and Lakshmana. And Balaram and Krishna considered as Krishna avatar only. And why two attitudes towards Kurukshetra war between Krishna and Balaram?
Why what?
Why two attitudes of thinking?
Yeah, because two individuals.
Excuse me.
Ha ha, Krishna. Balaram had us. Hariva, Brajamandal, Parikrama, here come the 800 devotees from Brajamandal, Parikrama. Nithai Garsundar, these deities and devotees, I don't see them all here. They are taking honoring prasadam. They were on Brajamandal, Parikrama for last 30 days. Hariva. And they are here, just now coming, spending one day, half day with Krishna Balaram temple today. Yeah, so Balaram had some soft corner towards Duryodhan, some special relationship. Balaram was, they're both fighters with a club, gada. I think when Balaram had given some lessons to Duryodhan in fighting. So that's one reason why Krishna was in favor of the battle by Balaram, because taking part in battle is fighting against Duryodhan, which he was his friend, so he opted for, he decided to go on a tour instead. So this is...
And another question.
Another one.
Yes, sir. If cow killing being stopped in Bharat Desha and people being with enhanced finer human qualities and not interested in killing others, then what about army?
I'm not catching your question.
If people in Bharat Desha,
people in Bharat Desha
got elevated to finer psychological attitudes of human society and they are avoiding the killing, then how could this army be existing? Army, Fauzi.
Army is existing. How? What is the connection? I'm not...
Because the people of army come from the people of this Bharat Desha only. So that people get enhanced in finer qualities of human society, mercy, etc. And how the army exists?
Oh, if everyone is elevated, what happens to the army?
Yes. Yes.
You are worried about them.
Because to resist the demonic attitudes from outside, sir.
Well, I mean, if everyone becomes devotee of Krishna, then law and order is maintained. People become self-disciplined. They will impose the rules, follow the rules, not so much reminder. But some killing is necessary, some army is necessary also, and some, but then there is to be dharma yuddha, the army that fights to establish the principles of religion. For that purpose, army is to maintain in the past. But now, dharma is not in the picture. Both parties are just irreligious, and they're just battling and killing each other. So this is also God's arrangement. Somehow, they have to be killed, so some are killed by army. Okay, etc. Like that. I can't get it.
Maharaj.
Yeah, your team. Okay, 5 minutes kirtan. If you have time, stay. Otherwise, go for prasad.